This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Rachel Don. How are you, Rachel?
I'm good, thanks, Chris.
Okay, Rachel. Now, Rachel, you're not in the wine trade.
I'm not.
No, and you're actually what I would call a enthusiastic amateur or an ex-happy consumer.
Probably more the ex-happy consumer.
In fact, you're an old friend of mine. We go back way back, so we're good mates. And I'm actually staying here in your lovely place in North Canterbury. You suffer from what I would say quite a few people suffer from, and a couple of my friends suffer from. You used to love wine, and you got into wine, and then you didn't. So you want to tell me what happened?
So some years ago, I joined a wine society as a way of getting a variety of wines and maybe trying something a little bit different that I wouldn't normally purchase.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I used to get regular deliveries.
Which I imagine you enjoyed.
Which I was drinking at that time. And then we did suffer some earthquakes in Christchurch. Yeah. And
that was a big earthquake. I've seen the disaster movie and you've done all the disaster tourism with me.
We did. So we lost our house and moved to North Canterbury. And at that time, I was probably purchasing more wine as a way of therapy. So the wine consumption was still quite high then. And then there was a lot of focus about, you know, how people were coping with the earthquakes and that the alcohol consumption was going up. And there was a lot of messaging out there about, you know, watching your health and keeping your stress levels down. And one of those things was, you know, alcohol. And I looked at all the wine that I had in my cupboards and I thought, maybe it's time to ease off the wine drinking. And so I probably did slow down, didn't drink as much as I should have, or give away as much as I should have, and I am left with a cupboard of shame.
I like it. It's not really a cupboard of shame, is it? The problem that you've got is that was, what, how many years ago?
Oh, probably a good 7 or 8 years ago.
7 or 8 years ago. And you'd built up quite a nice collection of wine. I've just had a look at your collection. We've been having a really good look, and there's some really nice stuff there. And the thing that we want to talk about today is the fact that some of the wines have got a little bit past it.
Yes, we have discovered that.
And we were just tasting away. And I went through your cupboard, and because you said, look, can you put the wines in an order that we can have a look at? Something might be good. And I pulled out probably about half the wines and said, let's put these in order of probably not going to be very good to drink through to possibly could be okay. And I think you're probably not the only person that's done this, where you've had a consumption of wine in the past. Or I've got a friend, for example, in Wellington who doesn't drink wine at all, but people keep giving him bottles. And he's got this big collection of wine, which is fabulous. And I looked at your wines, I thought, oh, I'd like to try that. These are very good. But some of them are just getting a little bit on, aren't they?
And I remember they were good at the time.
Yeah, because we've opened them up and we've had a look at them. And the ones we've identified, we've just opened 20-odd bottles of wine. How would you describe them?
Yeah, they were pretty ropey.
I think they were. So let's just talk a wee bit about what we tried, what we opened, and why. And I'll talk about why I chose those wines first. And I think the first one we opened was an Australian Sangiovese, 2009 vintage, from a producer called Vassarelli. Does that sound about right, Vassarelli? Cracked it open, and the first thing I got when I opened it was oxidation. There was a real, it was almost like a nail varnish type smell. Did you get that?
I didn't get that as strong in that one as the next one, but yeah, I could understand what you were smelling.
Yeah. And this is only, you only had one of these bottles, which is quite good because sometimes you've got like a case of stuff that we haven't even got to yet. So we tried that first and it went straight down the sink, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, and there was no mucking around with that. The second wine, in New Zealand, you don't probably get a lot of Bordeaux wines, do you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, so this is an Appellation Controllé Bordeaux, so it's a very entry-level style of Bordeaux. Looks really flash on the label, but it is very entry. 2011, opened it up, and I was hopeful because it didn't really smell bad, did it? It wasn't oxidized. It didn't have like any bruised apple smells or any of the sort of stuff we've come across later, is it?
I don't remember that one smelling as unpleasant.
As some of the others, yeah. And I think one of the things with wines is as they age, you know, if you want a wine to age well, you need lots of acidity and if it's a red wine, tannins. And they're really key preservatives in the wines for aging. Sugar can be a preservative. Alcohol can be a preservative as well in some respects. But acidity and tannins are the key. And an AC Bordeaux wine is normally a Merlot-dominated wine that's soft, easy drinking, and to be drunk, really, in its first year or two. Unlike some of the other wines we'll talk about in a minute, this wine had just faded. The fruit had gone.
No fruit flavours.
Yeah, and normally fruit hides tannins, hides acidity. There was none of that going on there in this wine. So in the end, what do we do with this wine?
That went down the sink.
Down the sink. But that was the last one to go down the sink, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah? No, because the rest of them have gone down the drain. Because why can't it go down the sink?
We don't want to kill off all the bugs in our septic system.
That's right. You're not on sort of main sewage, so too much wine leads to unhappy bugs.
That's right.
Did we try another red at that point? Oh, yes, we had a Central Otago Pinot Noir. You've got a lot of Central Otago Pinot Noir, and Central Otago Pinot Noir is not cheap.
No, it is not, and it is good. It is good drinking.
Normally. And this is a Waitara Creek Pinot Noir from Central Otago. We looked at it, and it's from near Arrowtown, 14% alcohol. So, could be okay. What bothered me was, this is the only 2008, but you've got loads of 09s, 010s, 11s, and 12s. So we picked the oldest wine here. And we cracked it open. The nose smelt like a Pinot Noir. It had a lovely Pinot Noir smell.
It did have a nice nose.
Yeah.
It wasn't unpleasant.
It was actually really, really nice. It was quite pleasant on the nose. And I was quite optimistic at this point. Popped it in our mouths and it was a bit like the Bordeaux, wasn't it? It was just a little bit nothing. So there was no faults. There was no bruised apple smells. There was no nail varnish remover smells. None of that sort of stuff. It was just very, very flat and didn't really have anything. So what did we do with this one?
Down the drain.
Down the drain this time, not the sink, because we don't want to ruin our bugs. I thought the most dodgy-looking wine in your list was a rosé, Fin 8 from Doreen Estates, 2008.
Yes, I wouldn't have chosen that. I'm not a rosé drinker, so I think it was probably a mixed carton.
I'm sure a lot of people have got wines that they sit at home and that's not really their cup of tea. They're waiting for someone to turn up that might be their cup of tea. And by the time it turns up, it
never happened, obviously.
This rosé, quite dark in colour, so lots of phenolics coming from the skins. You know, you get rosés get their colour from the skins, so you get the redness. So it's not like one of these super light Provence rosés. It had a bit of depth of colour there. And I can't remember why we didn't like it. Have a smell of that. We can smell the bottle.
Yeah.
Now, Vanna. So when wines go bad, the first thing that goes is the acidity and the tannins back off. And they're like your preservatives. They hold the wine together. But as they back off over time, what you're left with is a wine that's quite susceptible to oxidation. Now, these wines, a lot of them are screw caps. So I actually had some good hope for these wines. But the wines often go from lose their fruit flavour. They then go to a sort of often a bruised apple type of smell. Do you know that one now?
Yes.
Yep.
Got that one. and then they can develop in these sort of nail varnishy type smells. And this rosé definitely had that nail varnishy type smell. You can smell it still in the bottle.
Yeah.
And it smells pretty grim. Then, where are we? We're in New Zealand. What's New Zealand famous for?
Sav.
Sauvignon Blanc. So we got ourselves a Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, and the vintage is?
2013.
So that would make it 6 years old. The rule of thumb for New Zealand Savvy, usually, not always, but usually is, if it's in a fruity style, really intense, lots of fruit, gooseberry notes, passion fruits, it's good to drink that year. Probably best to drink that year. Maybe drinking okay the second year, maybe even drinking slightly better the second year. Third year, starting to maybe fall apart a little bit, probably okay to drink. Fourth year, starting to get pretty iffy. Fifth year, definitely gone. Sixth year,
Science experiment.
Science experiment. It was, wasn't it? It was a science experiment. What did you think of that?
That was not pleasant.
Do you remember why it wasn't pleasant?
It's very sour.
And what's going on there is when wines are younger, they've got lots of fruit, and the fruit hides things. You know, wines are balanced between fruit. I always think of it as a seesaw between the nice and nasty. On the nice side, you've got things like fruit, sugar, body of the wine. On the other side, you've got the nasty stuff, things like acidity, tannins, and the burning effect of alcohol. You lose the fruit, and what happens is all that acidity really comes to the forefront. And Sauvignon Blancs are an acidic style of wine. So sour is a perfect description. It also had a little bit of that nail varnish type smell, which if the listeners aren't sure of, have a smell of nail varnish, because it's when you get nail varnish in your wine, the wine is well past it. No mucking around. We had a good crack at some fizz though, didn't we?
A lot of fizz. A lot of missed party opportunities.
You did have a lot of fizz. But the thing about the fizz is, whilst the whites were quite nail varnishy, and the reds were quite, they just lost it, didn't they? The fizz had their own special flavour.
Apple juice.
Apple juice, yes.
Slightly sour apple juice.
Yeah, it was. It was really apple-y. And almost like a bruised apple. And that's a classic oxidation fault. And usually you get a wine that's got just a little bit of apple in it. But these were all apple. Although there was, I tasted a little bit of honey notes in some of them.
Yeah.
And there was one that even had a little bit of pineapple in there, which was almost pleasant if you got through the fact that it tasted really rank. So we tried three fizzes from various producers. There was a Paradox non-vintage cuvée, a Mantle Hill, and a Madara from Australia. You've got quite a lot of the Madara left, haven't you?
I do.
So what do you think you should have done with these?
Down the drain.
What would have been a better solution for these fizzes, do you think?
I think that, yes, if they were drunk when they were younger at the time, or maybe given away and enjoyed,
it would have been better. And that's the thing about non-vintage fizz. A lot of people think that non-vintage is like a wine from multiple years that's blended together. Most non-vintage sparkling wines are designed to be drunk immediately. You know, they release them, they're ready to go, they taste their best within release date and within 6 months, really. You can hold it for a year, you can hold it for 2 years if you really want. By the time you're getting around 3 years, a lot of non-vintage fizz is not really looking particularly sharp. And do you know how long you've had those ones for?
Oh, it would be a good 7-8 years.
7-8 years. Some of the fizzes had what we call a Zork closure, which is a closure. I did a podcast with, I've forgotten his name, John someone, about 10 years ago. And I hadn't really seen a Zork closure in the wild. And a Zork is a plastic closure. And we cut one inside, didn't we? We saw a little bit of foil in the middle. So it's got a foil, aluminium air stopper, if you like, to stop air getting in, but still plastic, and plastic can work its way into the air can work its way through the plastic into the wine. And these wines were really apple-y, and some of them were quite nasty. Do you remember what one of them had when you taste it in your mouth? It wasn't just that it tasted of apple, it was actually really sour. And that's quite common as well, because you've lost all the fruit. Oh, John Brooks. Yeah, John Brooks is the guy. I couldn't remember his last name, John Brooks. We've actually got someone helping us with the commentary. It's your non-drinking partner, which I think we can blame for your lack of alcohol consumption.
Probably is half the problem. When you open a bottle of wine and you've got no one to share it with, you either drink the whole lot and get into trouble.
Yeah, or not.
Or not and get into trouble.
Yeah. So... Or develop a nice collection of wine. So we got through the reds, which were the rosé, the Sauvignon Blancs, and the fizz, which I was pretty confident were probably going to be naked. And that's about 20 bottles we've just worked our way through, spitting all the way. But the next set of wines are Chardonnays. And what we've got here is the thing about keeping wines for long periods of time is you're never absolutely 100% sure if the wine's going to be tasting good when you go to crack it open. And you can look at a wine and a label and you're not sure. And there's a couple of ways you can try and work it out. The first is You can look it up online. You can use things like Wine Searcher or any of the sort of recommendation sites, and you might find that wine that's been tasted recently, and someone will say, yes, it's drinking really well, or it's not drinking very well. The other thing is that wines that tend to age well are wines that aren't particularly fruity. I know it sounds strange, but you need a lot of intensity of flavour. But if the wine's super fruity, what tends to happen is they've kept the wine away from oxygen during the winemaking stage, and that's made the wine quite sensitive to oxidation. And as the wine ages, if it gets introduced to some oxidation, it will actually fall to bits quite quickly. Whereas wines that have been put into an oak barrel will be exposed to oxygen, they'll lose some of that fruit early on, but then they become more stable to oxidation at a later date. Now, the wines we've got is we've got a 2009 Chardonnay from Indistinct from Hawke's Bay, a 2010 Thornbury Hawke's Bay Chardonnay. Now, I've actually had this wine, this vintage, probably about 8 years ago, and it was drinking pretty good. I didn't write a tasting note on it, so I can't remember exactly what it was like. And then we've got a Thornbury Winemaker Selection 2011. Now, if you're not sure and you're looking at the back of the label trying to work out whether you think a Chardonnay might be any good or not, what you're looking for is descriptions that might give the idea that the wine's had some oak influence. Because if it's had an oak influence, it's been put into an oak barrel. And if it's been put into an oak barrel, then it's probably had some oxygen, which means it's probably lost a little bit of fruitiness and hopefully become a little bit stable to it. A 10-year-old or a 9-year-old Chardonnay could be a thing of absolute beauty, or it could be apple-y, vinegary, all sorts of stuff. So we're going to start with the 2009. Looking at the back of the label, it says that a load of winemaking bumps to convince you to buy it. A unique range of wines with the finest fruit from New Zealand. They're talking about the fruit. They're not talking about any sort of oakiness. They're just talking about, yeah, they're not even giving you any flavour. So let's crack this open and see what it tastes like. Oh, what did you notice about the colours of the wines? Anything you'd notice about the colour of the wines? For the reds, for example.
Oh, so we looked at the colours. And you start to get some brown on the edge, on the rim.
Yeah.
Some
of the wines were, most wines when they're young are red wines, are purpley. They're going through to a ruby colour. Then they go through to garnet, tawny, and then brown. You know, they're sort of general colours. And the further away you get for purple's normally young. Ruby's okay. Garnet's showing a bit of age, but hopefully okay. Tawny is showing quite a bit of age, and brown is normally completely knackered, and all the reds were in that sort of garnet colour, weren't they? The whites and the fizzes, what colour were they?
Generally more yellow colour.
Yeah. Some of them were almost orange. The colour I often describe to my students is Saturday morning after a hard Friday night colour. You know, you go to the toilet and it's just bright orange. And some of them were really orange. So this wine is yellow. It's almost got a greenish tinge to it, which was normally you get a greenish tinge indicates the wine's a little bit young, but I don't believe that. So this is the Thornbury 2009. The Indistinct Hawke's Bay on the nose, it's not apple-y, but it's got a little bit of that sort of, I think the closest is the nail varnish remover, isn't it? Not bad, but not pleasant. Now, do you like that smell?
It's not completely unpleasant.
Yeah? Would you drink it?
Based on the smell, yes.
What do you think?
It's still fruity.
Yeah, on the mouth it's got some fruit. Do you notice that it's quite mouth dry? You know, it's quite dry. The wine's had some skin contact early on, and that's given it a little bit of phenolic, almost like tannins, a phenolic sort of taste. But as the fruit's dried out, that phenolic taste has come more and more to the front. So it finishes really dry in your mouth. So when this wine was younger and the fruit was hiding the sort of mild tannins, it was okay, but now I think it finishes a little bit hard.
It's not pleasant.
Not pleasant. What are we going to do with this wine?
Down the drain.
Down the drain, okay. All right, let's try the 2010. So I was hoping the Chardonnays might be a little bit better than the Savvies. Didn't really expect the Sauvignon Blanc to be any good. Didn't expect the non-vintage fizz to be any good at all, just because they're quite old. But this wine here, Chardonnay, I was hopeful. Let's try this. This is a 2010 Chardonnay Hawke's Bay. The back of the label says, our palate is mouth-filling and rich, ripe stone fruit flavours. Enjoy chilled with white meats, poultry and vegetarian dishes. No talk about oak, so not hopeful. Colour is quite yellow. Very lemony, I would say, rather than sort of browny colour, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. A little bit of bubbles in there. Same sort of nose though, isn't it? It's got that slightly acetic acid. Not quite vinegary, but in there, nail varnish. It's somewhere between vinegar and nail varnish, isn't it? Any fruit on the nose? Not really. Just unpleasant. A little bit of sweetness in this wine. They didn't ferment it to dry. It might be why there was a slight spritziness in the wine. So there might have been a little touch of secondary fermentation. They didn't ferment it to dry. And as a result, it actually in your mouth, it's got a nice mouthfeel. It doesn't finish.
You know, the other wine finished a little bit harsh.
It's not as dry.
Mm. It's not as dry. Yeah. Still.
I'm desperate to resurrect some of my collection, but I think that one's down the drain.
Down the drain.
Lovely. Right, this one, the last one, Thornbury Winemakers Selection Chardonnay 2011, Hawke's Bay. And this one, if I remember correctly, says New Zealand favourite grape variety. With the Chardonnay, we've captured the luscious flavours of unique Hawke's Bay region. I thought this one had a little bit of oak in it, which I was hoping might help it, but I cannot see it on the back. Let's try it. This is a 2011. So these wines aren't particularly old, though, are they? You'd think 8 years, not that old. But it's that problem. If you're making a wine to be full of fruit flavours, they don't always last. Same sort of flavour, not quite vinegary, not quite nail varnish remover. Not as bad as the others. It's got a little bit of sugar in there. But then you can taste a little bit of some sort of skin contact at the end. So again, all these three Chardonnays from Hawke's Bay, 2009, 10, 11. What are we going to do with it?
Down the drain.
Down the drain. Okay. Right, that's that flight. I'm confident. No, I'm not confident at all. But we're now getting to the point where we're starting to get into wines that might be drinkable.
Oh, don't start totting up the price.
One more Chardonnay, yeah? And this is Esk Valley 2010. Esk Valley's from Hawke's Bay as well. Really like this winery.
I remember that was really nice wine when I drank it at the time.
Yeah, yeah. The nice thing about this is they do refer to subtle oak nuances, which might be that they've either put a standstill tank and they've put a little bit of oak chips in there or oak staves, or they might have used really old barrels and put the wine into old barrels, which is brilliant because the old barrel may not give a lot of oak flavour, nuanced oak, but it will give it an oxidative effect, which means it won't be as fruity, which means it could last quite well. It's 2010, so it's not the youngest Chardonnay we've had, but it could be onto a drinkable wine here. The colour is deep lemon. It's definitely... These wines mostly a screw cap as well. And normally you'd expect screw cap wines to age very slowly. Little bit like the others, isn't it? You've got that sort of slightly sour smell, yep. That's the closest I've had to drinkable. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's not wildly pleasant. It's only an 8-year-old Chardonnay as well. It's not wildly pleasant, but it is in that band of, if I was at a party and someone gave it to me, I'd have a good attempt at finishing the glass before I moved on to a beer. Do you agree?
I agree. I would drink that. I wouldn't enjoy it as much. But I think maybe with food, maybe with some good food and some good conversation, I could probably consume that.
Yeah. So what are we going to do? We've got a few more bottles. So would you say that's down the drain or should we hold on to that?
Let's hold.
All right.
It may be redeemable.
Maybe redeemable. Okay. I'm not sure how they made that wine. As we said earlier, they talk about oak influence, which may be old oak barrels, which might be just enough to hold it together, or it could be that we're just getting lucky here. Now, the next white wine, I would consider quite high risk. It's a Church Road Hawke's Bay Pinot Gris from...
2012.
Okay, so Pinot Gris, particularly for New Zealand stuff, you normally expect to drink it like a Sauvignon Blanc. It doesn't have the acidity typically of a New Zealand Savvy, but I would normally aim to drink it a little bit quite young. I know in some places of the world, like Alsace, you can have them a little bit older. 2012, I think it's quite a high-risk wine, but let's give it a go. Colours, still lemony, but not as deep as the others. Still got that slightly overblown sort of thing. It reminds me a bit like a Sauvignon Blanc that's sort of just a little bit old. Hasn't gone down the sort of oxidative stage, but it's just starting to turn into more of a canned type of flavour. Nice facial expressions there, H. Do you like it?
Well, I would say it's sweet and pineapple-y.
Mm. I think the nose has backed off a lot. There's a little bit of spritziness in there as well. You get that. Notice it on quite a few of the wines, there was a little bit of spritz. I'm not sure why. You don't normally expect spritziness on a long new someone. Pineapple's a great description. Nice mouthfeel. Not bitter or like some of the other wines where they've given it a bit of skin contact and then the fruit's dried up. You're left with a sort of bitter flavour in your mouth. I think you wouldn't get too many supporters of it at a party, but if it was a second or third bottle in the evening, what do you think? You'd drink it?
I probably would drink that. Maybe a glass.
A glass. Okay. So we've got that. We'll hold on to that. We're getting there, though. See, we're moving through, aren't we? I think I've done pretty well at picking what's going to be drinkable and what's not. Right. This is quite an exciting wine. We tried a load of non-vintage fizz. Some of them had Zorks, which I wasn't confident that they would help at the wine age. But they're non-vintages. Non-vintages don't age as a general rule of thumb. You know, if you get a non-vintage, don't expect to age. This is a 2004 Morton Black Label from, I think it's from Australia, isn't it?
New Zealand.
Oh, Auckland, New Zealand, Epsom. Yeah, okay. So it's a black, they call it Black Label, traditional method from New Zealand, 2004. Should we give it a go?
It may have been a gift, that one.
Do you want to save it for a special time, or are you going to give it a go?
Let's crack it open.
Okay. That's quite good, isn't it? Bit of fun. How many bottles did we... Oh, we'll do a count up at the end.
How much room is in my cupboard now?
Lots. It's fizzy still. That's always a good sign. Quite a yellowy colour.
Oh, apple.
Yeah. Bruised apple, and even slightly nasty bruised apple, moving towards that now varnishy. So, actually, of all the fizzes, though, it's probably the best on the nose. No, because some of those fizzes were pretty rank.
Mm. I don't even know how to describe that. It's just, that's shit.
Bruised apple, little bit of acetic acid, quite dry on the mouth, super dry, would you say?
It was dry.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, yeah. And I think your description of it being not as optimal as it could be is probably things. So what happens to this wine?
Down the drain.
Down the drain. Okay, so 2004 sparkling wine, certainly. I've had old fizz, you know, let's be straight, I've had sort of 20-year-old Dom Perignon. I think I'm trying to get the vintage. I think it was like an 82 or an 86 Dom Perignon about 20 years old at the time. And it drank really nicely. You know, it drank like a fresh bowl of wine. That certainly did not hold up at all. Don't know the grape variety either. Well, we've gone through a lot of the whites. The other boxes that we've sort of thought might be okay are all reds. We're now up to the sort of second wave of reds. These are wines that I wasn't really expecting to have to open up. Because what we're basically doing is trying to find a wine that we can drink tonight. So far, we've opened a lot of bottles. So we're going to open, have a crack at an Appellation Contrôlée Bordeaux, AC Bordeaux, 2009. So it's even older than the one that we rejected, the 2011. However, 2009 was a decent year in Bordeaux, 09. Normally the way I remember the good years in Bordeaux is if it's divisible by 5, it's normally a pretty good year. 15, 10, 05, 2000, 95. These are all pretty decent years. 09 was one of those years that was okay. So this could be an okay wine. My concern about this wine is twofold. First of all, it's just a straight Appellation Contrôlée Bordeaux wine. Secondly, you kept it on your wine rack and I'm a bit worried it's been exposed to a little bit of light. It's a cork in it. You've kept it upside down, so the cork should be all right for at least when I saw the wine. But I'm just worried that even if the wine's drinking okay, it might not be very good. The note on the back says deep, intense ruby with plum rim, ripe fruit complex, aromas of black currants, and a touch of vanilla. So if you interpret that, intense ruby doesn't really tell you. Ruby tells you that it's not super youngish. Ripe fruit with complex aromas, black currants, usually implies that there might be some Cabernet Sauvignon in there. Cabernet Sauvignon gives wine structure, has acidity and tannins, which is good for aging, and a touch of vanilla. So it might have had some exposure to oak. So this wine could actually be a drinker.
Has a medal.
It's won a gold medal at the Paris Jud Wine Show. And what are you looking at, Rach?
So we're looking at the colour.
Yeah. Tawny to brown.
It's getting there.
So tawny to brown indicates quite a lot of age. Nose, still got some black currant in there. Touch of cedar. Nose is actually okay. It smells like I would expect a Bordeaux to smell like. Even though it's an older wine, it's actually smelling a little bit better. Maybe a touch of oxidation, but not a problem.
I'd like to say, and I'll make it, I think that's a keeper.
It's hollow. It's lacking any punch through the centre in your mouth. But there's nothing wrong with it. For an Appellation Controle wine, 2009, I think it's drinking okay. What do you like the wine or not?
I would say cheers. It's all yours.
Do you drink red wines usually?
Well, local Pinot.
Yeah. I think the wine's actually held up reasonably well. So it's a 10-year-old Appellation Controle Bordeaux. And normally Appellation Controle Bordeaux, I wouldn't have much hope for it. But it actually tastes like a washed out version of a reasonable Appellation Controle Bordeaux. So that is the wine that I will have after I've drunk something nice. What can you tell me about the bottom of that cork?
Well, it is purple.
And?
And sparkly.
Sparkly. So what's happened is the wine over time, tartrate crystals have formed on the bottom, and they call them wine diamonds. They're just nice sparkly things. They don't hurt you. Some people think there's glass in them. In fact, as your role is in up here, you get people ringing you up telling you about that, don't you?
We do. So I worked in food safety for 20 years in New Zealand, and that is a common complaint that that we get. So we get people to do a little bit of an experiment first. So to take them and put them in some hot water or vinegar mix, and if it dissolves, then drink away.
It's not a problem. And if it doesn't dissolve?
It might be glass.
It might be glass, in which case...
Throw it out.
Down the sink. Okay, cool. Now, we don't want to open too many wines, because we're now starting to get into the point where we might have enough wine for tonight, and we're getting to the point where the wines might be okay. So we've got some options here. We could open a 2008 Lindeman's Shiraz from New South Wales. The reason this might be okay is because Shiraz can have lots of tannins and structure. 2008 is 11 years old. However, the wine region is New South Wales, so it's coming from all over New South Wales. Normally, if the wine says it comes from New South Wales, it's not coming from a specific region. It's not always the best wine, so that could be a down-the-sink wine. We've got a 2010 Hawke's Bay Syrah. Syrah, again, like Shiraz, same grape variety. Good chance that New Zealand Syrah will have a bit more acidity, which is a preservative. Sometimes with Shiraz, Aussie Shirazes, they can be a little bit brave and they can extract lots of tannins from the wine. New Zealand, if the wine's really acidic, they won't extract the tannins because it makes the wine super hard. So this might be lacking tannin, so it's a little bit risky, 2018 Hawke's Bay Syrah. And again, it's from Hawke's Bay, not a specific region in Hawke's Bay like Gimlet Gravels. And then we have a 2009 Mohur Pinot Noir from Central Otago. We've had a 2008, it was almost drinking, but we tipped it out because it just wasn't quite right, it was a bit hollow. I think we'll go for the Lindeman Shiraz because I think what gives it away for me as being the next wine to tip out is on the back it says cellar and enjoy over the next 3 to 6 years, and that was in 2008. So if we give it maximum opportunity, that's 2014, it's 2019 now, so I think it's going to be the most likely to go down down the sink.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say it's tawny as opposed, there's still a bit of red in there. So it's tawny rather than brown. So that's a good sign. Maybe almost garnet, but more tawny than garnet. Swell, smells all right. It's got that sort of, normally with Shiraz, you're looking for things like blackberry flavours. It doesn't have a lot of that, but it's got a nice eucalyptus nose. Touch of tannins, a little bit hollow, a little bit lacking, no finish to the wine. The finish is all dried up, but it tastes good. I mean, it tastes like, I don't know, because none of the wines you bought were really cheap, were they? They're all decent prices.
Which is why I'm slightly horrified at the bottle collection that's on the table now.
Yeah, because you spent a lot of money on this. You said it was $20 a wine. There's hundreds of pounds of wine that you down the sink.
Not this one.
Not this one. This is okay.
Hooray!
Yay! Bit of a surprise. I'm not super surprised, but it certainly is an okay wine. Do you know what? It's all right, there's a little bit of oxidation in the wine. Got given that in a party, I'd be quite happy to drink that. I would possibly look for something different next glass, but I would be on to that. So that, to me, that's a 2, 2.5, maybe out of 5. So it's the first one that I would almost enjoy. And that's interesting because they'd say 3 to 6 years. It would have been past its best. And it's not from a specific region. So that's a bit of a turn up for the books. Right.
So far you're drinking the Bordeaux and I'm drinking the Shiraz.
Nah, I'll probably drink both of them. We've got 1, 2, 3 bottles left to choose from. We've got a 2009 Mohua Pinot Noir from Central Otago. We've got a 2010 Anthem Ascend Pinot Noir from Central Otago. And these are starting to get to the vintages where I would be expecting, if you get into them now, they should be drinking okay. And then we've got a 2010 Syrah. Now, normally you'd expect Syrah to have more tannins, more structure, and therefore age better than a Pinot Noir. So we're going to try the Pinot Noir last. But the reason we need to get into these is because...
How many of these have you got left?
There's a few.
There's about 10 of them left, 10, 12 bottles left. So we need to know what these are drinking like. And the only way you can be sure after wine's aged for a decent length of time that it's going to be drinking okay is to try it. So if these taste rubbish, there's going to be a lot going down the sewer. But if they're drinking okay, and we'll make a judgment call then about how long you can keep them. Yeah. So should we give these a go? We'll start with 2009 because that's the older. Mohua, I'm not really familiar with them. They talk about classic Central Otago Pinot, exciting aromas of leathery violets and spicy velvet with all black cherries. So colour-wise... Oh, it's brown, isn't it? Mm. On the nose? No. Pinot nose with a little bit of that oxidation? No, that nose is dodgy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not smelling appealing. Yeah. And I have drunk that at the time, and it was pleasant. That's not pleasant.
Interesting, isn't it? That 2008 we had, I thought the nose was good, but the palate was just nothing there. So we decided to bin it for that. This, on the nose is not very pleasant, but the palate is actually okay. What do you think? What are you going to do with it?
I'm worried because there's a lot. I was hoping it was going to be a little more enjoyable than that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think it's a keeper or do you, you know, certainly you don't want to age it anymore.
I think that might be a giveaway.
Giveaway. Or because the wine's not terrible, you might find that you're doing a lot of red wine reduction sauces.
Lots of wallaby stews.
Wallaby stews, yeah, you like that? Okay, so I think on the nose, personally, I think the wine's past its best. If I bought it, I'd be a little bit disappointed. And I'm a bit surprised, because 10-year-old for a Central Otago Pinot, I've had Central Otago Pinots that have been 10 years old, and they're really, really good. So I think maybe this particular wine didn't quite stack up the way you would hoped. So we tried 2010. So this is a Anthem Ascend. Got a label on the back. So intense raspberry plum, supple tannins and silky textures. A well-balanced palate, long lingering. This wine is classic Central Otago Pinot. and a very good year of growing. Let's see how good it was, because 9 years later, again, quite brown on the nose, but 9 years old for Centro Taco. Nose is all right. It's not jumping out of the glass and going, whoa, wow. It's not a strong Pinot nose either, but there's nothing faulty on the nose. It's almost got some nice fragrance to it as well. Mm. Almost floral. This looks all right.
All right. Not the best Centro Taco Pinot.
But definitely drinkable. Yay!
Because you've got quite a bit of it.
Okay. Brilliant. Okay, that's good. That is a winner. Now, given that you've got that, what do you feel about the Mahua now?
Okay, that one can go.
That's down the sink, yeah, okay. I think you were getting a little bit desperate, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. So the wine that we've opened quite a lot of wine, a couple of them we'll actually have tonight. I've put that wine, the Anthem, the 2010 Anthem, in the fridge. And the reason we'll do that is because we've got quite a lot of wine open. Some of it we're going to drink. Most of it's going down the sink.
You're on holiday. I have work tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. But by putting it in the fridge, it'll slow down any oxidation. There's still plenty of wine in there, which means that over this week, you've got 2 or 3, 4 days to get through it, and there's no desperate rush. You've still got 24 bottles of stuff that I've said are probably okay. It's a little bit risky, but these are the wines I was fairly sure needed to be tasted because you couldn't really rely on them. So let's just do a quick tot up of wines that didn't quite make it. 30 wines. 30 bottles. They're all not cheap wines. No, there was nothing there that looked cheap. 30 bottles at about, what, 25 quid a pop? £750 worth of wine that was just stored for a little bit too long. Yeah?
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. What's the lesson?
Drink it.
Drink it. Or give it away. Or just don't store it for too long, yeah? Perfect. Love it, love it, love it. Any comments you'd like to... What did you think of the experience, Rach?
It's been good fun, and I've learnt a lot more about bad wines. And I wouldn't hope to receive anything in a restaurant like this, but it's nice to know when things go bad that you can recognise, what to look for.
It's pretty rare you get to taste a load of wines that are just gone past their best. And I thought it would be quite nice. And I think there's some interesting lessons. One of the things I do, and one of the things you could do going forward, is you've got some wines that I think are towards the end of their life. But if you try a bottle every 6 months, you'll be able to judge when it's starting to get too far. And you can go, oh, I've got to get through this a little bit quicker. And what I used to do, I don't do it anymore, but I used to store wines. And the way I would do it is, I would put 18 bottles away and take 12 bottles out of storage. And the idea was that you can't judge a wine typically by looking at the label and deciding whether it's good or bad. The only way to know is by actually tasting it. And if you just have one bottle that you're keeping forever, you'll never know when it's tasting its best and you'll never know when it's gone too bad. And the only way is to keep bottles for a while. And you've got some wines now that you know that the way the wine's tasting. You know it tastes good. You know it's probably getting towards the end of its life and you need to drink up, but that's the way to do it. You know, if you're going to buy a case of it, drink it regularly, and if you see that it's starting to fall over, drink it a bit faster. If you think it's holding together, it's a bit too tannic, a bit too acidic, drink it a little bit slower. That's the way to go. All right then, let's wrap it up. Thank you very much, Rach.
Thanks, Chris.